From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone.
Hey, y'all. I just want to remind y'all, because it's been a little bit over 3 weeks, okay? It's been a little bit over 3 weeks.
We begin with Cardi B.
Trump is now ordering federal government workers to go back to work without getting paid.
The rapper's Instagram video has over 11 million views and counting.
This is crazy. Like, our country is in a hellhole right now.
Stephen Colbert weighed in, too.
We have now hit day 26 of the government shutdown, and vital services are being threatened. For instance, I've run out of shutdown jokes. We might have to dip into the National Reserve at this point.
If only we had more reserves of maturity to dip into. The fight over the border wall deteriorated further as missives flew between Capitol Hill and the White House.
President Trump denying a military jet for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who was reportedly set to head out of the country for a meeting with foreign allies. This after Speaker Pelosi called to postpone the State of the Union address. All of this.
But the State of the Union seems years away. Meanwhile, thousands of unpaid federal workers continue inspecting our food, securing our air travel, and sending tax refunds. Many are relying on the compassion of landlords, local restaurants, and even their workplaces for food. In past shutdowns, the press focused on the inconvenience to tourists.
At Great Falls in Virginia, the closed sign turns visitors away at the front gate. In West Virginia, the Harpers Ferry National Historic Park is closed to history buffs.
But the longest shutdown in history is different. Now we're hearing about all kinds of hurt from Alabama.
There are several Alabama programs that could be affected if the federal government does not fully reopen. For instance, the WIC program provides nutritional help for women, infants, and children.
To Nevada.
If the Valley loses public housing funding, we could face a huge problem.
To Connecticut.
New at noon, FAA and TSA workers at Bradley International Airport have gone 4 weeks without a paycheck.
Thanks to robust reporting both inside Washington and coast to coast, we've been schooled in just what the government does and what happens when it doesn't.
Homeless shelters, they get money from HUD, domestic violence shelters, sexual assault programs.
Services the federal government is obligated to pay to Native Americans under treaty rights.
When our government starts to buckle, for real, the importance of local reporting can no longer be ignored or denied. But that vital sector of our republic has been undergoing its own agonizing sort of shutdown for decades.
This week, many of those reporters learned of a new, familiar threat to their own futures. The Wall Street Journal reported on Monday that Gannett, the local news chain that owns USA Today and about 300 other papers, is the target of a hostile bid from the hedge fund Alden Global Capital. The deal isn't done, and no one knows exactly what this might mean for papers like the Arizona Republic or the Appleton Post-Crescent. We can't say what Alden will do. But we do know what it's done. So does Dave Krieger. For a time, he was the editorial page director of the Alden-owned Boulder, Colorado Daily Camera, until he wrote a post critical of his corporate overlords and was fired.
The tactic that Alden uses, and it does it through its newspaper front, which is called Digital First Media, they come in once a year, and they basically tell the executives of the paper what their take is going to be. It's a little like a mob protection racket. They come in and say, we're taking 20% of your revenues off the top. Good luck. Have a nice day. It is then up to the executives at the paper to keep the lights on. And the only way to do that with revenues declining year over year at pretty much every newspaper in the country is to cut news resources. Originally, the Daily Camera eliminated all its clerical positions, for example. So you have editors and reporters doing all the clerical work that needs to be done. It sold off the downtown office building that the camera worked in and kept moving the staff to smaller and smaller office space. And eventually, there's nothing left to do but to cut reporters. Boulder's a very dynamic community. It's a university town. It's 100,000 people. There's a Google campus. There's a Twitter campus. There's all kinds of stuff going on, and we just had no ability to cover any of it.
So let's just say that Alden is not known for its commitment to local journalism. And now it's after the 300-some Gannett papers. I am old enough to remember when Gannett wasn't the victimized damsel tied to the tracks. It was Snidely Whiplash doing the victimizing. When I worked at the Wilmington News Journal, a Gannett paper, in the early 80s, the company had the reputation of slashing costs of the papers it had acquired. And I believe you were a former Gannettoid yourself, aren't you?
Twice over, yeah. Gannett for many years was known and is today known as the McDonald's of journalism. They were the consolidator. They were all about profitability. Gannett was the bottom of the barrel. It was the worst you could do as a reporter for many years.
Comparing the historical Gannett of consolidation and cost-cutting and everything that goes with it, was anything that chain did even remotely comparable to what Alden has done in the properties that it owns?
It was not as bad, but it was comparable in the sense that Gannett sort of pioneered this concept that you could consolidate all kinds of functions that used to be the province of the individual newspaper. You didn't have necessarily a copy desk anymore at your newspaper because there was some central location where copy editing took place. You didn't necessarily have page designers at your newspaper because there was some central location where that took place. The delocalization of news in order to save money, that was a Gannett process. The difference is Gannett began as a newspaper company 100 years ago. And it's still a newspaper company. Its interest is in keeping those newspapers alive. Alden does not care whether the papers survive. As you may know, Ken Doctor, the newspaper analyst, suggests that on the current trajectory, a lot of Alden properties will be dead in the water within 3 or 4 years from now. And as I say, I think that's fine with Alden because they will just take the cash and move on to the next distressed asset.
All right, so there may not be a better example of sort of predatory capitalism than what we're discussing now. On the other hand, no laws are being broken, and Gannett is in the position of trying to protect the fiduciary interests of its shareholders, and the offer that Alden is making is significantly higher than what Gannett shares are trading for. It will be hard for them to turn this down. You know, what does that suggest? And I guess I wonder if you think there's anything that can be done about this.
I don't want to get too sanctimonious about this, but there's the famous Thomas Jefferson quote about whether if he had a choice between a government and no newspapers and newspapers and no government, he'd choose the latter. That seemed to make no sense to a lot of people, but the point he was making was self-government is impossible without an informed citizenry. And in fact, that's been the criticism of democracy over time. Most skeptics of democracy persisting for long periods of time are skeptical because they think the citizenry ultimately will be so ill-informed that it is not capable of governing itself. Plato made that argument 2,500 years ago in the Republic. If capitalism is allowed to destroy local journalism in this way, that's where we're headed. And as you say, distressed asset investing has a long tradition. It is part of capitalism. Ben Graham called it cigar butt investing 100 years ago. He's Warren Buffett's mentor. So it's definitely legal and it's part of capitalism. But we have never been at the point where it was about to destroy an institution that is protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution. Is there a way to protect what our founders thought was so important from an economic system that now seems bent on destroying it?
What's going on with you?
I appear to be retired.
I'm sorry to laugh, but it doesn't sound as though that was your plan. It sounds like the situation in which you've unfortunately found yourself.
Going out into the job market as a 60-something veteran of 40 years in what is perceived to be a dying industry, the newspaper industry, you know, there's not a lot of interest out there in the market. That's where we are.
Okay, Dave. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
You bet.
Dave Krieger is the former editorial page editor of the Boulder Daily Camera.
Coming up, if you think we have gridlock, may we call your attention to Brexit?
This is On the Media.